Go you also into my vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A new season today, a fresh start, purple, preparing for penance, for Lent, which in turn gets us ready for Easter, 70 days away, Septuagesima in the Latin. Last Sunday, I offered a pontifical mass in a small, packed little seminary chapel about an hour outside of Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I told the people, I had the sense of having done this so many times before, first as a priest and then as a bishop. The bishop comes and he opens the chapel or a seminary, and there are confirmations and young families who come from all over the country, far away. And the little chapel is packed. And there are the fresh-faced, hopeful seminarians about to begin, and the many children, and some friars there too, some young Franciscan vocations. And we start it all over again with confidence, for such is God's will. Ad Deum, that's where we're going. Quilitificat juventutem meam, to God who rejoices my youth. Great visit, but there was one little dust up. Facebook. The young fathers use Facebook. They say it's a great promotional means. Father Cicada uses it just to promote his own book and articles. But it also, they say, can draw people to the Mass and to their apostolate. It's a way to connect, it seems. But some group of priests, dubious priests, I mean morally speaking, seem to have posted something favorable about my priest on his wall, I think that's the term, and a foreign priest in another country who was, of course, following everything, made a big fuss about that, and I never quite understood what the problem was, but there were some consequences. However, I do understand that Facebook can be a problem from time to time. Somebody says to me, you should see what so-and-so is posting, why it's a scandal, and somebody should do something about it. Parents, maybe? But if you put children into that world, when they're young, you give them a cell phone, you start them out first, the trainer course, with video games all the time, why wouldn't they post something which reveals too much? Way too much. Facebook. What an odd way to make friends. You share the details of your life with those whom you've never even met. Birds of a feather flock together, the nuns used to tell us in grade school. Facebook is not only a way to inform yourself as to what's happening and maybe influence others, it tells the world and the watchers, the spies from industry and government, who you are, where you belong, the importance of connections. One person leading to another. This is how you establish your identity, by those with whom you share your life. Where do you belong? Who are you? Now that's really what the first three prayers of the Canon of the Mass are about as well. The Te Igitur, the memento of the living, and then the third, being in communion with prayer. I, the priest, the celebrant, who am asking God to hold this sacrifice acceptable In Roman legal language, in the Latin, uti accepta abeas, and to bless the sacrifice of God's Son, I must identify myself first. It's a kind of a security code or a password. They're beyond me. I don't know how you do with them, but I couldn't imagine somebody learning by heart and remembering on the spot all of these dozens of different passwords. Well, that's just the end of the story for me. But the beginning of the story for us is that we are part of God's people, that we are his family, and certainly his friends, for that matter. So, in the canon, in the first prayer, I identify myself like a well-brought-up child in the old days would have been instructed to do. Were you told, I remember I was, when you answer the phone and it's for somebody else, you say, "May I say who's calling, please?" Don't think they do that anymore. We don't use usernames with God as people do on the internet to hide their identity. I think that's just for losers. But proudly I say that I am a member of thy holy Catholic Church, for which I am here today to pray. How so? Well, I'm one with, in the Latin, unicum. This is the proof that I'm a Catholic. I'm one with, first of all, your servant the Pope, and then the bishop of the diocese. And if there isn't one, the rubrics explain in red, if it's sede vacante, the seat is vacant, well, then I must just skip the phrase and move on. Thank you very much. So if they're all heretics promoting a new religion for 50, 60 years now, a new religion which I refuse, which is why I go out of my way to get a Latin Mass and the old faith, I can't be in communion with them. They can't identify me as a member of the church, because they're not members of the church. There. That's not so complicated, is it? Not nearly as complicated as figuring out all these modern communication gadgets today, I don't think. Or is it? Is it just a matter of opinion? Is it much ado about nothing? No. It is dogma. It is what we call a doctrinal fact. Follow the lines. If that man in white is the Pope, then the new church is right, because the church can't give wrong. And then I'm in the wrong, because I should be in that church and not here. The church cannot give evil or error or false teaching. Is that just somebody's opinion? And then we say, well, you know, they mean well. No, I know. This is serious stuff. You must be subject to the Roman pontiff for salvation. That's Catholic doctrine, Pontifex VIII. So if you're not, and there is one, there's a problem here. But if there isn't one, not anymore, there's a terrible hoax going on. And worse, one more of the great hoaxes of modern history. And you don't tell a lie, I hope, to go along and get along. Catholics don't. They don't go to a mass where a heretic is proclaimed and prayed for just before the consecration. Catholics are united far more than Facebook friends. And this is what we're doing. We're establishing that truth. First off, in the canon of the Mass, with the church militant. At every Mass, did you know this? Every other Catholic throughout the world is present. So squeeze over and make room for them. Look, there's that Brazilian priest and those families from last week, and here come the Canadians. And then all of the different groups, and there's Bishop Sanborn and his priests and faithful, and Bishop Piverunas and all of his, and the Italians from Europe, and friends and Catholics you don't even know because the church is still very big. Oh, and there are enemies too. Bishop Sanborn explains the divisions amongst us because there is a unity of faith, of divine faith. That unity exists, even though on practical matters there may at times be differences. And so in the church you're going to see the competition, and everybody is gathered about the altar, and there's only one altar. It may be some big bronze affair, make your eyes pop out, or a plain draped box, painted plaster, or carved and gilded wood in the Gothic style. There's one altar, and that's Christ. And there's one priest, and that is Christ. And that is the Mass. And we're connected through Christ into his church, and it matters. Even if for the time being it is sede vacante, please note there are no heretics here, and there are no schismatics, and no atheists. More. Prayer goes on. To reference the church triumphant now in heaven. So the priest will say, being in communion with the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then the apostles, and then the martyrs, starting with the popes of ancient Rome. They say that in the old days, at that time, the first and last of these three prayers we're discussing this morning were said quietly, as they are today, by the celebrant, but the middle prayer, the remembrance of the living, the memento, that used to be done out loud. And when you see the NN in your missal, that refers to the names of donors, of big benefactors, and it was a time to mention special intentions. But St. Jerome said that a little vanity was creeping in here, and everybody wanted to get mention, and the list was getting to be very long, and sometimes there was that human tendency to be people-pleasing, and St. Jerome said, just say it quietly. And ever since, so we have. Now, you may think all of this is the priest's job to sort out. You would say, well, I'm a people after all. I just want a Latin Mass, preferably at a convenient time and not too far away from my house. What do I know from Una Cum? Ah, look at the gospel and listen. Go you also into my vineyard. You are the workers, and the vineyard is Calvary. The altar is the wine press, and Christ at every Mass is robed in the red of his blood, and he trods the wine press, but not alone, but we, all of us, clergy and people, are one with him. I offer the sacrifice of the Mass? Not just the priest? Yes, indeed. Remember the truth. When Father turns around, makes this circle and says, Orate, fratres. The rest of it, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Please remember two things today, two P's I want to put in your pod, the Pope and participation. The Pope matters. And if this atheist be Pope, then the gates of hell have already prevailed. But because they haven't, he isn't. Got it? Second, participation. If you come here, it is to assist at Mass. That means to help the priest. Or if you go, sometimes on travel or vacation, to one of those unicum masses, as we call them, it's the same thing. You go to fulfill your obligation, don't you? You share in the Mass. You assent to what is done, says St. John Chrysostom. You approve of it, say popes and theologians. More, you join with the priest in offering the Mass. You consent and morally cooperate, say the moral theologians. You cannot go to a Mass and withhold your intention, except if it were to be, say, a funeral or a wedding, and you're just there out of respect. You're not there to go to Mass. Any more than, say, a visitor could come here from one of those churches who have not yet, shall we say, friended us on Facebook. And you don't want to get tainted or get into trouble with anybody, so you think, well, as long as you don't go to communion, you'll be okay. No, ignorance is no excuse. And that old saw, well, as long as it's a Latin Mass, that's all that matters, that's quite false. No, my friend, the devil is in the details. If you're in the pews intending to assist and praying and fulfill your obligation, and why else would you be there, then you are in communion with us or with them on the odd occasion of travel. And you must take the consequences. No, the Mass is your work too. St. Leo the Great says, acknowledge, O Christian, your dignity. The work you must perform on your day of rest, says Almighty God. But remember, if no good Holy Catholic Mass is available, then you must sanctify your Sunday where you are at home without the true Mass. But accept no substitutes. Those who tell you that you can are doing you no favors. And if you think you don't participate, remember what the priest says when he turns to you the last time before he consecrates, Meum ac vestrum sacrificium, my sacrifice and yours. I think all you need to do is to get a hold of a book which you have, and you probably brought it with you today. Well, there are plenty of articles. I'm sending one home with you in the bulletin today, written by our good Father Chikad, and of course there's his book as well. And I think there are some interesting little videos available on YouTube. But really, all you need as a Catholic today to use is the ordinary means. Read the ordinary of the Mass in your Missal. The canon tells you who we are and who's doing the offering today at the altar. So when the angel picks up the phone on the other end, may I say, who's praying, please? You can answer, you may. Go you also and work. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.